This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to another Joy 94.9 podcast.
Joy wishes to advise the following program, Hide and Seek, is a show intended for an adult audience. Generally, our discussions are of a sexual nature and may contain coarse language and references to drugs.
Hide and Seek.
Sit back and enjoy the ride. And enjoy the ride. And enjoy the ride. And enjoy the ride. And enjoy, 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 enjoy. And enjoy the ride.
You're with Dean Beck and James Finlay on Hide and Seek, and it is my great pleasure to welcome back to Hide and Seek the Australian Sex Party's convener, Fiona Patton.
Thank you, Dean.
Yay. Thank you, James.
And also the candidate. One of 10, is it right, for the seat of Higgins here in Melbourne's Inner East. It's also my great pleasure to welcome a dear friend, mentor, former boss, and bloody great bloke. His name is Huey Newnham. Welcome, Huey.
Thank you very much, Dean. Great to be here. You too, James. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you too.
You've, Huey, been overseas of late.
Yes, so I've just come back after I've been away for a year, actually, right back on Friday. But I've taken up work in Europe, which I'm sort of enjoying at the moment.
We've introduced Fiona to our listening audience previously, so let's drill you a little and let them find out a little bit more about you.
Sure.
You've worked in the adult industry for over 22 years now.
Something like that, yes.
And you're...
He was very young.
Very young, yes. I started when I was three.
A founding member of Eros.
And a member of Avia before that. It's predecessor.
Before my time, yeah. And one of your big claims to fame is that you were at that table and certainly a part of the discussions that formed the original, very first Sexpo.
Yes, some 13 years ago, I was at that stage. I was running Club X. Some of you may know the chain of adult bookshops.
I'm sure we all do.
And just following an industry lunch we'd had at a Chinese restaurant in Melbourne, a number of very old industry players were being shown these sex toys by an American supplier that was out for a visit. And following that, we're having a marketing meeting, and one of our staff put their hand up and said, "Do you know, really, we should have a vibrator demonstration day." And we go,
that's what the original Sexpo was.
Sexpo started, it was going to be a vibrator demonstration day, and the idea was to invite the public into a non-threatening environment where they could come and see what a vibrator was. And so we originally were going to hold it at the...
Did you have trouble with venues or anything?
The original idea was we were going to hold it at the then Sheraton Hotel, which is now the McCure, up on Spring Street. And at that stage it was a rather derelict hotel, certainly probably nowhere you'd take mum. And so we booked their conference room, and they were very happy to have a booking from a group called HGC, as we were known at the time. And then when they found out that we were going to have a vibrator demonstration day, they promptly cancelled the venue.
So we're talking about 1995-ish, is that right?
1996.
Right,
okay.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. Certainly not really that long ago when you think about it, and yet there was that hesitation.
Absolutely. Wouldn't, you know, so like we're not talking a B-grade hotel, we're talking like a C-grade hotel, right, in Melbourne was worried about tarnishing their reputation because they're going to have a few inanimate sex toys.
Were they selling rooms by the hour at the time?
I wouldn't be surprised. The hotel's very
famous. Well, they might have got them out of business, yeah, having those sex toys there.
You know? Well, ASIO famously raided there in the mid-80s. From a bungled anti-terrorist raid way back then. So that's one of their only calls to fame. But they didn't want to include a vibrator demonstration day as a part of it. So we were kindly told not to try and come.
And it ended up being at that hotel by the Albert Park Lake, didn't it?
Having been knocked back by them, we learnt, and so we approached the then Carlton Crest, and so we asked whether we could have a health, sexuality and lifestyle exhibition.
Right.
And made no mention of wanting to have
Let's lead with something different than vibrators. Right.
You know, we might not get it right first time, but we learnt quickly.
Yes.
And so we went to them, and the then general manager there was a Dutch guy. and being European.
Quite forward thinking.
Quite forward thinking, and to have a health, sexuality and lifestyle exhibition seemed completely normal to him, and we were asked along.
But that the media tried, once the media found out, I mean, they were suitably, you know, appalled for, for the media, and they also found out that it was also the annual conference for the Chartered Accountants Association was on the same weekend. So they tried to set up this big battle between Sexpo and the Chartered Accountants, and, you know, would the Chartered Accountants be so appalled that they'd call off their conference?
And who would be more interesting?
Yeah. Well, that was what the Chartered Accountants said. They said, actually, I think theirs sounds a lot more interesting than ours.
So the first one must have been a huge success by all accounts.
The original idea, as I say, the idea was to simply invite the general public along to a non-threatening environment to see what a sex toy was.
Little did they know how successful this would be.
Little did they know that Sexpo, after running for 13 years, is one of the great enduring public exhibitions in Melbourne.
In fact, in the world.
There's a guy who went to that first show. Do you remember him? He used to wear this bucket. He had a cowboy hat on. He looked 90.
Absolutely, yes.
He looked 90
his
at the time.
His name's Steve, wasn't it?
I've actually never wanted to know his name, but he came to that first show in 96, and I saw him at Melbourne Sexpo last year, and I think he has actually gone to every show for now, 13 years.
13 years right. On, Sexpo last year recorded a record crowd of 70,000 people. It's coming up again in a couple of weeks' time, and we'll talk about it a little further. We need to take a break. As you can see, Huey loves to talk. It's going to be a very fun evening. Stick with us, and he'll help us navigate the boring side of politics, and we'll find out why it's so important to consider the Australian Sex Party in the seat of Higgins. You're with Dean Beck and James Finlay on Hide and Seek. This is Joy 94.9.
Hide and seek. I think you'd have to be gentle.
You're back with Dean and James, and in the studio with us tonight is the Australian Sex Party's candidate for the seat of Higgins here in Melbourne, Fiona Patten, and Huey Newnham, a great mate of mine, and he's going to help us understand a little bit more about politics and all about the seat of Higgins. Now, James, tell us a little bit about the seat of Higgins.
It includes an affluent inner eastern suburbs of Melbourne, Armidale, Ashburton, Malvern and Toorak, as well as parts of Glen Iris, Camberwell, Paran and South Yarra. So can you just imagine what kind of people living there?
Now, it has always been a safe seat for the Liberal Party. Its first two members were Harold Holt and John Gorton. They were both Liberal Prime Ministers. Higgins is the only division to have been held by two Prime Ministers of this country, which occurred when Holt went missing whilst PM and then Gorton was named as his replacement.
Oh, so that's really a technicality, really.
Well, but, you tell that to the Liberal Party.
And one wannabe.
Yeah, that's right. And Peter Costello. And then, of course, Peter Costello was Treasurer of Australia and Deputy Leader of the Liberal Party.
And he was?
Yeah, in the Howard government, he was...
A wannabe.
Yes. And never got there. And he resigned in October 2009, just gone, sparking a Higgins by-election Exhibit A.
Now, the House of Representatives will have a by-election in Higgins on the 5th of December. There are 10 candidates running, and we'll have a little look at those in a moment. But one of them is the Australian Sex Party's Fiona Patten. Fiona, it's been said to me on a couple of occasions that you're a single policy party.
Well, I suppose if you think sex is a single issue, I mean, you'd say family is a single issue.
It's kind of all-encompassing, though, isn't
it? It's rather all-encompassing, I think, you know, sex, gender, sexuality, the actual act. And then you only have to look at someone like Nick Xenophon, who has become, I think, a very effective senator running on the No Pokies party.
Yeah.
So if you want to look at a single-issue party, there's
family
one.
Family First could be a single-issue party.
Well, that's right. I mean, I certainly think family is about as single-issue as sex is.
One Nation was a single-issue party. Every day it was another issue that was a single issue. Well, you've drawn from the ballot what position? Because that happened on Friday, is that right?
That's right. What's that mean,
by the way?
Well, it was very exciting. It was very exciting and very archaic. And We actually, so they do this sort of hear ye, we're going to draw the ballot for Higgins. And the returning officer, Mark Strong, does this very nice little speech. He then blindfolds one of his staff.
Oh, hello.
I know.
How odd.
What sort of blindfold?
Well, it was, yeah, I know. Look, it wasn't one of ours. Studs? Apparently, it was a British Airways one. It was pale blue. But she had a choice of colours, I understand. And then they bring out like a bingo cage with 10 numbers in it.
And the balls drop.
And the balls drop.
Lovely.
That's right. And she blindfolded, fumbles with the balls and pulls the ball out. And they do this twice. And so there's this sort of this double random blind system, which I understand Australia is the only place that does this. Mm. And anyway, they then draw it. It then works out the order for the voting form or the ballot. And I drew number two.
So that means on the ballot paper, from top to bottom, you're positioned the second on the list.
Yes.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Right. And you'll be up against Stephen Murphy, who's an independent candidate. We'll just run quickly through them. There is Kelly O'Dwyer, who's all hailed from Peter Costello's Liberal Party. There's Isaac Roberts, who's a Liberal Democratic Party. Dr. Clive Hamilton from the Australian Greens. There's David Collier from the Australian Democrats, Joseph Toscano, who's an independent.
And anarchist.
And an anarchist.
God, that, an anarchist that could doing have, running for government.
That could have some interesting implications, couldn't it? Steve Raskovy, who's for One Nation. Peter Broyer, independent. And John Mulholland, who's from the Democratic Labor Party. They're the 10 candidates, yourself included. And what do we know about these other people? We know a little bit about you. What do we know about them?
Well, I don't know much about the independents. I mean, certainly it's difficult when you have the LDP and the DLP. DLP... Yeah,
I noticed that. I was like, how many Liberals do we need here?
Yeah. All Labors.
So Democratic
Labor... There's nothing very Liberal about either of them, though, is right. there?
Well, the Democratic Labor Party is Senator Harradine. It was when they thought Labor was going too left that Democratic Labor Party came off an offshoot. I'm trying to remember the name of the Catholic guy who it'll come to me during the show.
He's completely that memorable.
But Bob Santamaria.
Ah, yes.
I've forgotten him already.
Yeah, he was part of it. So the DLP, they've actually got some members in the upper house in Victorian Parliament. Very, very socially conservative. In fact, very, very conservative in every way. Anti-abortion, anti-gay, extremely conservative.
Anti-life.
I'm not sure they never look very happy. So, you know, I think they're just waiting to go to heaven.
No.
You know, where they'll be happy.
Not the nightclub.
Kelly O'Dwyer is representing the Liberal Party, and she's worked for Peter Costello for quite some time. She's been rather silent, in fact. I guess she thinks she's probably got it won.
So she's probably just sitting at home, you know, kicking back.
Knitting.
You sometimes wonder when it's such a safe seat, you wonder whether if I just say nothing, I'll win. You know, if I open my mouth, I could say something that. Or she's been really hardworking and been out there talking to the good ladies of Toorak.
John Fain gave her an absolute pasting the other day for not returning his calls. 2 weeks he's been trying to interview her and didn't go down
very
well.
It's a strange thing, isn't it? I think Peter Costello needs to be chastised well and truly for leaving the seat when he promised at the last election that he would sit the full term. He got $100,000 in public funding at the end of that election, because that's what we give people who get elected. And now he's resigned to go and work as a merchant banker and take a job from Kevin Rudd. And this is going to cost the community another $500,000 to run this by-election. I think he should give the money back.
Otherwise,
because I think Kelly O'Dwyer is spending that money on her campaign.
Clive Hamilton's next. He's the man who has been responsible, and I guess the architect, for the current proposed internet censorship. We've got to really have a serious look at what internet censorship is going to mean. Is it possible that I'm not going to be able to spend my Saturday nights trawling through Manhunt and Gaydar, trying to pick up a route? I mean, is that what internet censorship is going to mean?
I'm afraid so. In actual fact, I mean, probably 99% of adult sites will be prohibited content.
See, I don't think enough people know this, because I certainly didn't know this.
No, I mean, everyone says, and Senator Conroy says, if you're against the filter, you're for child porn. Or it's all about protecting children. There's so many other ways to protect children.
Yeah.
But this actually will knock out Gaydar. It will knock out Manhunt. It will knock out any adult site that features adult material, that features erections, features people having sex. They will be knocked out.
Are there internet filters elsewhere in the world?
Yes, there are. And they block child porn.
Right.
There's China.
Places like China, Saudi Arabia,
Iran.
The great bastions of freedom and democracy.
Certainly no way we want to be going into
North Korea.
China's.
North Korea, you know.
And Clive Hamilton will say it's to protect children, that too many teenage boys are looking at porn sites, and this is skewing their attitudes towards sex.
The thing is, if they ban one thing, what are they going to ban next?
Well, it's a secret list.
It's a secret list.
Oh, yes, you're not allowed to know. Now, Dr. Joseph Toscano is running as an anarchist.
I know.
That's just going to upset the apple cart, really.
Well, it's an oxymoron. How can an anarchist be a candidate for government?
I'm sure the lovely ladies of Turak would totally put their vote behind him.
What do we know about the former Hungarian wrestler Steve Raskovi, who's appearing for One Nation?
Well, I had the pleasure of meeting him on Friday. Oh, because I took cupcakes to the ballot.
Oh, that's right. I saw that on Facebook.
I know, it was lovely. I took little good luck cupcakes to all the candidates. The Electoral Commission was totally bemused and, really didn't know how to take it. In the end, they got into the spirit of it, and all the other candidates, sort of, when they figured that they probably weren't laced with something, actually.
Oh, yeah. I don't know if I'd be game enough.
I don't know how I only became the only candidate standing. I don't know.
Sorry, my mind was somewhere else.
It
I was thinking
couldn't have been the cupcakes.
I was thinking something blue from Pfizer.
Yes, I was with you.
That just would have made a few happy candidates.
I think they all thought
they might be dead.
Sorry,
the Hungarian wrestler, he was a wrestler in the 1964 Tokyo Olympics. He still fits his tracksuit from there. When I met him,
that's a good or a bad thing.
Look, I don't think he should be wearing it at this age. But when I met him, I introduced myself and he said, "Oh, right, and you're a candidate, are you?" Thinking, so have you been paying any attention?
Yeah.
I said, "Yes, I am." And he said, "Oh, what are you running from?" And I said, "The Australian Sex Party." And he went, "Really?" And then just burst into giggles.
Did he have any idea what day it was?
No, he didn't. In fact, he was quite surprised.
Holy hell.
Where am I?
Yes, next one. Former staffer of Lynn Allison's, actually, David Collier from the Australian Democrats.
Yeah, I haven't. Lynn Allison was a great campaigner. She's been a great supporter of all our issues, and I'm sure David will be a good bloke.
Liberal Democratic Party's candidate Isaac Roberts is an accountant.
Well, there you go.
Fiona.
Yeah.
That'd be nice.
No, he's. I'm sure he's. I haven't had a chance to meet him. I have met with that party, and they're civil libertarian, probably to the extreme. Yeah, they're accountants, actually. There's a lot of them, and they're a lot of accountants. I can't say much more.
The Democratic Labor Party's candidate is John Mulholland. He's a psychologist. And we've got Peter Breuer, who's a lawyer, who's an independent.
Peter Breuer, I met him. He was very enthusiastic. He's the gentleman that's been proposing the bridge from Melbourne to Tasmania.
A bridge from Melbourne to Tasmania?
Yeah, I think he wants it to go from Prahran.
What, Porter Street?
But I didn't get a chance to speak to him very much, but he was very enthusiastic on Friday and he was saying, "I'm the bridge guy, but I've got a lot of other really good ideas other than just the bridge from Melbourne."
What the hell is going on in the seat of Higgins? We've got a bridge from Tasmania to Melbourne and...
Yeah, is there any coastline in Higgins?
Let me just take you through where the seat of Higgins goes. It goes along the Yarra River if you head east through to Burke Road. And then up to Riversdale Road, it comes back around down through Warrigal Road, and then it goes basically from Warrigal Road all the way down Dandenong Road to Punt Road and back to the Yarra River. So it's that big long arch that encompasses Camberwell, Ashburton, Glen Iris, Malvern East, Carnegie, Murrumbina, Hughesdale, South Yarra, Toorak, Prahran, and Windsor.
It's pretty big.
It's a big and quite affluent electoral boundary. We're going to take a little break. We'll be back shortly to talk more with Huey and Fiona Patton from the Australian Sex Party. Dean and James with you on Hide and Seek. You're listening to Joy 94.9.
Hide and Seek.
You're back with Dean and James on Hide and Seek. And James, we've got an email from Steve the Truckie who says...
Yeah, I would vote for you, Fiona, because you sound like so much fun.
And you do. And look, if you're listening and would like to send either a message of support or if you've got a question, please send us an SMS 0427-JOY949.
Or on air at joy.org.au.
That will come straight through to us in the studio and we can pass it on to Fiona Patton, the candidate for the seat of Higgins from the Australian Sex Party, and joining us as well, Huey Newnham, who has a close association with the seat of Higgins.
Yes. Well, my parents not only live in the seat of Higgins, but it was at the Harold Holt pool that I discovered I was gay many years ago.
You're not the only one. No,
no.
You're
it's
not
curious
the only
to
one.
Have named a pool after someone who drowned.
Oh, it's just silly,
it's
isn't
so
it?
So hilarious.
It must be the only one in the world. Obviously, a gay awakening.
Fabulous.
I know.
Venue for many.
Maybe that's saying something about Mr. Holt himself.
James, yes. We'll just leave that. Now, Fiona, the seat of Higgins is staunchly conservative. It's been held by the Liberals forever and a day and takes about a 20% swing against the Liberal Party for a change in the power shift. Clive Hamilton from the Greens reckons he's got a pretty good chance. But why is it that we should vote for the Australian Sex Party? And what sort of impact can you make in something that has got such a huge conservative following?
Look, I think we do have a chance, of course. I mean, I wouldn't be in it if I didn't think we did.
Yeah.
But voting for us does also send a message that a lot of the issues that we stand for are important.
And isn't it absolutely that you can't lose by making a vote for the Australian Sex Party because of the way the preferences work, wherever you put the Liberal candidate... right, on your ballot, that's effectively where your vote's going to be. But this represents a rare opportunity, actually, for the gay community to register that vote, that they count and that we as a community are a political voice.
What do you mean by wherever you put the Liberal candidate in your preferences? Because there's 10 boxes. You've got to put a number in every box.
Very
is that
important.
Right? So you need to put 1 to 10 wherever it goes.
Yes.
So say I'm... a Liberal voter and in Higgins.
Yes.
But I know that they're not going to get into... Or I feel they're not going to get into power. I want to send them a message and I want to, you know, tell them that gay marriage is my thing. I want them to be serious about that and take it seriously. How do we make that protest vote?
You can make that protest vote by putting the Australian Sex Party or any other party of your choice ahead of the Liberals. But unless the way preferential voting works is that whatever you put as number one, if that candidate doesn't win, then they count your second vote. So if you put the Liberal Party as number two and the Sex Party, for instance, as number one, your vote will count just as surely for the...
As a protest vote.
It will do two things. It will count as a protest vote because the primary vote is the thing that's reported.
And that's the first vote?
That's your first vote.
Right.
But if Fiona isn't successful, then what you put as your choice number two, that might be the Greens. That might be somebody else, right? That then becomes effectively the choice that you've made on the ballot.
And so what you're really saying is anything you put above the Liberal Party, in the seat of Higgins, is a shift away from the Liberal Party.
Correct.
That's pretty clear.
Mm. There's also talk about preferences. Parties have their preferences too. If you don't win, your votes go towards another party. How's that going?
Well, we're still, having just had the ballot on the draw on Friday, we're still in discussions about where our preferences will go.
Yeah.
It's not an easy decision.
No, it must be really tough with all those crazy people.
Well, that's right. And, I mean, certainly the Liberal Party were speaking to us within minutes of the ballot being drawn.
Yeah.
The Greens have been calling us. So have the Democrats. We've been having lots of calls. But it is very hard. I mean, the Greens, while they have good social issues, and certainly they've had some great gay and lesbian issues. Their position on internet censorship.
And this particular candidate.
That's right, that's right. And also, I think there just seems to be this sort of general shift in the Greens that in Victoria in particular, that I think is very concerning. It's very difficult for the sex party to decide where to put our preferences at the moment.
Just on that subject of internet censorship, Jonathan has sent through an SMS, thank you, Jonathan, which is a really good one. It says, I'd like to respond to the point made earlier regarding internet censorship with banning adult sites such as Manhunt and Gaydar. He says that he's sceptical that government could ever enforce such a ban on these sites without outraging a chunk of the community and civil libertarians. He says this sounds like scare tactics, in his opinion. But he says he also agrees with a lot of your other views. Jonathan, I think what we're trying to get at is that you're right. It is impossible to enforce. It doesn't mean they're not going to do it.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean there's not going to be a way to get around it.
Well, hey, they're already pissing off over 50% of the Australian public for not giving gay people the right for equal rights.
Or we're still banning R-rated computer games. Well,
there's no scare tactic about that. I mean, that is absolute reality. And you just have to read the Australian Labor Party policy about internet filtering. That is exactly what it is.
And it is enforceable because it goes onto the internet service provider. So it's not about whether you try and access Gaydar. It's whether your service provider doesn't block it. If the service provider doesn't block it, it's the service provider that's liable, and it's the service provider that will be facing hundreds of thousands of dollars of fines.
Unless not that service sites. Provider is hosted offshore.
No.
The only way
this is the new change, Dean. This is the only way you can get around it is, you know, virtual private networks. I mean, there's technical ways to get around an ISP based, an internet service provider based filter. But
ask any 12-year-old; they'll tell you.
Well, that's right. I mean, look, it won't be easy, but certainly if you wanted to, for instance, upload information up to Gaydar or up to Manhunt, and you have to go via a VPN, a virtual private network, they're easy to find, but it's not that easy to do.
And slows also, your speed. Yeah,
they're clumsy.
Free.
They're clumsy.
It's clumsy. Wouldn't you just prefer to be able to access as normal now?
Look, if it's going to take me more than 3 minutes to get off, I'm not going to worry about it. We're talking to Huey Newnham. And Fiona Patton,
Australian
sex party. Jonathan, thank you very much for that SMS. That was a very good question.
It is a great question.
And you can send your SMSs through to us here at the studio, 0427JOY949, or on air at joy.org.au.
Hide and seek.
You're listening to Hide and Seek with Dean Beck.
And James Finlay. We got a text in, Dean.
Oh, James, you're not going to do that. Oh, God.
Yeah, and it says, Dean, I didn't think it normally took you 3 minutes, because you did say you needed 3 minutes to, you know, finish yourself off.
Thank you, smart ass, whoever you are. We've got Fiona, the candidate for Higgins, here. We've got Huey, and we've got some questions regarding policies.
And it's just such a treat to have you actually in the studio.
I know, it's so much fun to be in the studio. But just an aside, Sexpo has also offered free tickets to all residents of Higgins.
Wow.
So I think they just have to email, if they just email the Sex Party's website, so just info@sexparty.org.au.
info@sexparty.org.au.
We can give them more information. But basically, they have to come to Sexpo with their driver's licence.
And get a pass to Sexpo. Give them a ticket.
I'll be there and they can hear more about the Sex Party policies.
Hey, that's fantastic.
I think it's great. I mean, I think we'll try and invite the other candidates to come along.
That'd be great.
Yeah, because I think it'd be great for Kelly O'Dwyer and a few of the others to...
They could all do with a good vibrator, I reckon.
And volunteers are needed.
So if you don't live in the seat of Higgins, maybe if you do live in the seat of Higgins, but you believe in what the Australian Sex Party is standing for, then you can volunteer your services, particularly for polling day, is that right? Because there's 30 polling booths, so you'll need a few hands on deck.
And that is where all the difference will be made, is actually manning those polling booths. So on the 5th of December, if we have people at all of those polling booths, that's what will make the difference. Because frankly, I think there'll probably be about 30% of people who turn up to those booths who will not have decided who they're going to vote for. And hopefully they may go, sex party, that sounds like fun.
So how would they get in contact with you to volunteer their services?
Again, I mean, certainly via Facebook. We've got a Facebook page. Or they can just email us on info@sexparty.org.au.
And say, put volunteer in the subject line.
Yep.
So it's the 5th of December, and it's pretty much all day, isn't it?
Well, or it could just be a few hours.
A few hours.
Exactly, a few hours. Get a T-shirt.
Many hands make light work. That's, you get a T-shirt.
Get a T-shirt.
Fantastic.
Can I have a T-shirt?
I think we might even talk to Cal Vista for some volunteer aid packs.
I think they could certainly assist as well with a few things. We'll have a look at that.
Pure would be happy to assist too, and I think probably Titan.
Yeah. Oh, look at that. We've got coming out of every orifice. I'm going to get the sack tomorrow.
I reckon we're going to get the Liberal Party volunteering.
Yeah,
well,
they can't.
What they're having.
I will give Kelly O'Dwyer a free iVibe rabbit. All she has to do is call me. Now.
And come to Sexpo.
And come to Sexpo.
Come on the show, even.
Come on the show.
Yeah. Maybe not come on the show, but she could come and visit us on the show.
Yeah.
James, and do you know who we've got in next week? We have got the Bad Boys coming in next week. I don't know where we're going to get time for Kelly O'Dwyer. The Bad Boys, by the way.
She'd probably like to come in while the Bad Boys were here.
She would too, but she's not having them.
I'm sure she's listening
now. Can I come in while the Bad Boys are here?
You certainly can.
We're all coming back.
Tune in next week for the Bad Boys. The Australian Sex Party, Fiona. The Greens have always championed gay rights for many, many years. As have yourself. And I think the basic point of difference with the Greens and the Sex Party is internet censorship. That's kind of where we're at.
Yeah, I think also we've been a lot more explicit about our opposition to censorship, and also the fact that, you know, we come from a small business background rather than, I guess, that sort of more left-leaning protest background. We're very much a...
Make love, not war.
Yeah, look, I've spent the last 20 years representing people in Canberra, small businesses and individuals, and I think that's the experience that we bring that's slightly different from where the Greens come from, as much as I respect a lot of the work that they have done.
So environmentally, where would you sit?
The Sex Party, being as new as it is, we don't have policies on carbon trading as yet. I have personal positions on it, and I certainly think we need to be using less and leaving more space for animals to have sex.
Yeah, making more animals.
That's right, and making more animals. That's
Fiona, last week it was reported in the Daily Telegraph, the Sydney newspaper, that teen mother numbers were on the rise. In fact, the Australian Bureau of Statistics figures show that Australians' total fertility rate in 2008 was 1.97 babies per woman, up from 1.92 in 97, the highest since 1977, driven largely by an increase in birth rates amongst women aged 30 to 39. However, in New South Wales, the number of births 15 to 19 shot up from 2,788 in 07 to, listen to this, 3,226 last year, a 15%, nearly 16% increase. Reported amongst that was some children, 12 and 13, who had fallen pregnant. This comes back to sex education.
It certainly does. And I think, yes, let's teach children how not to have babies. But let's teach, I mean, certainly there was other articles in the paper and reports in the paper over the last couple of days about the fact that boys and men don't understand the idea of consent. No. You know, we've seen terrible increases in sexual violence in all communities. I think, again, this comes back down to education.
Yep.
We need to be teaching kids and young adults about relationships, about negotiation, and certainly, yes, the ins and outs.
The mechanics.
Yeah. And that's, you know,
but that's such a small part of it, isn't it, really, at the end of the day?
Small part of sex.
Yeah.
And such a small part of our intimate relationships, and such a small part of the issues surrounding sex, and that's what we're not teaching our kids at school.
And I think as long as we live in this world of clouded communication around the subject matter, we're actually encouraging things to be withheld and mistakes to be made.
And then our kids are getting their sex education from penthouse.com or at best. That's right. So we really need to be able to be having these very frank discussions, and I think it needs to be compulsory sex education in schools from the minute you go there until you leave, and then
to have a frank and honest discussion.
I think that would reduce sexual violence, reduce STIs, hopefully reduce teen pregnancies.
The seat of Higgins, just reminding you, will be having an election on the 5th of December. It covers the area all the way down Dandenong Road to Punt Road, down to the river and all the way back to basically Warrigal Road, a huge triangle of Melbourne's most affluent. Also, a bloody great big chunk of Melbourne's gay and lesbian community. If you wish to support the Australian Sex Party, vote one, the Australian Sex Party and Fiona Patten. Thank you very much for joining us.
Oh, thank you, Dean. Thank you, James.
No problem.
And Huey, thank you very much for joining us.
Wonderful to be here. Great nice to be you. Home.
More information can be found at sexparty.org.au. You're with Dean and James on Hide and Seek. You're listening to Joy 94.9.
Hide and Seek.
Sponsored by Circuit Bar. Circuit.com.au.
This has been another Joy 94.9 podcast. Joy 94.9 is a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station committed to providing a voice for the diverse GLBTI communities. You can support our work by becoming a member or making a donation. For details, go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.